Greetings. This is Richard Solon.
And I'm Kendall Solon.
And this is Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. This is Richard Solon. The sermon that follows is entitled simply, Darkness and the Light. It's a meditation on the Sermon on the Mount found in the chapters 5 through 7 in the Gospel according to St. Matthew.
A moment ago, we heard these words from the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Can't you imagine how important a lamp was those centuries ago before the discovery of electricity and the gas lamp? It's only been in this century that activities such as travel and buying and selling, visiting friends, even games on the field have been something that was just as easy at night as during the day. Now, those of you who no longer like to drive at night or even to go out at night know something of the way it was. But you can imagine, darkness was very palpable, and with it came a sense of isolation and fear. It's little wonder that Jesus, trying to find an analogy for the power of the person of faith, would liken that person to a light or to a city set on a hill. I remember our first trip to the Mediterranean, to the Near East, to the Sea of Galilee. We had been around the sea that day, and as the night fell, we began to see lights up where they shouldn't be or where they weren't normally. To discover that although during the day we had not noticed little villages perched on the top of hills in the manner of antiquity where it was safe up high, now we could see the lights coming ablaze like little Christmas trees. And we knew again that a city set on a hill could not be hid. From time immemorial, darkness has been a symbol of ignorance, of sinister evil, and of sin. The Gospels and the letters of John particularly make much of the metaphors of light and darkness. The world, says John, loved the darkness rather than the light because its deeds were evil. And the simple truth is that that's still the case. We still note that evil deeds are done in the darkness, in the cover of the night, where no one will see them being done. But Jesus' statement is an effort to counter evil. You, said Jesus, you people of faith are the light of the world. You've all heard the story. You hear it a lot because it's a useful story of the fellow who lost his keys and was looking under the lamp where the light was shining, and fellow came by and asked him the stupid question that we usually ask in those kind of situations. Did you lose your keys here? No, he says, I lost them over there, pointing some distance away, but the light is here. The story is old, but it tells a human truth. We are more likely to try to solve problems looking in the wrong place. We look where there is light. But to look in the wrong place is to deal with symptoms rather than causes. How much of our effort as individuals and as a society concerns itself with symptoms and not with causes? It's dark under the bed, but you don't put a lamp under the bed. You put a lamp on the lampstand so that all who enter the place will be able to see. I need to ask you, if you can't do it in these few moments, later today, I want you to think about all your efforts for good. How many of those efforts, how much of the money that you give for benevolent causes, how much of that deals with symptoms of problems rather than with the causes themselves? This morning, in this brief communion meditation, I just want to give you one thing to think about. And I focus on this problem for a very special reason. This past week, I received a letter and the minutes from what is called the Religious Leaders Forum. The meeting took place at the end of 92. The Religious Leaders Forum is an ecumenical group made up of the leading ecclesiastical leaders of our region: Bishop Peter Lee of the Episcopal Church, Reverend Constantine Dombalos of the Greek Orthodox Church, Bishop Walter Sullivan of the Catholic Church, Bishop Tom Stockton of the Methodist Church. They meet periodically, call themselves the Religious Leaders Forum, and focus on crime and the problem of crime and prisons, incarceration in our society. I paid particular attention to it because as I was reading the minutes, much to my surprise, my name was in it. Now, it was there not because I've done anything, but because I'm supposed to be doing something. As the president of the Conference Board of Church and Society, this was their subtle way of alerting me to their interest in my doing something. They want to arouse public concern for what is happening in our society and as it pertains to the imprisoning of our citizens. You know, there is a riddle when it comes to crime and punishment in recent years in the United States. It's called the inmate riddle, and this is what it is. Between 1975 and 1989, the prison population across the nation tripled. The prison population tripled to now being almost one in every 250 people. But at the same time, the level of violence barely changed at all. The ratio of crimes to the general population barely changed at all. The prison population tripled. The incidence of crime did not change very much. Why, we must ask, did the number of people in prison increase threefold while the ratio of violent crimes to the general population stayed about the same? And the reason is that as a people, we have demanded more punishment. Criminal record usually is only a portion of a person's life, that they usually grow out of their criminality. And yet here we are in Virginia building prisons at a record rate. A mega prison built in Greensville, and eight more are planned. And yet the prisons which we have built contain three times as many persons as were intended for the prisons themselves. At the rate we are going in 7 years, not one in 250, but one in 100 Virginians will be in prison. Our first reaction may be, well, that's where they belong. The difficulty with that attitude is that with more people in prison, even if I were cynical, the cost is increasing as well. Apart from the cost of building the prisons, which is enormous, the present rate of incarceration means that in the next 5 years, we will be paying $100 million more just in operating costs. So that soon this will be the dominant cost in Virginia's budget. The cost of putting people in prison is like the national debt. For many years, we ignored it. But now the amount of money involved is so great and increasing at an alarming rate that we are being forced to realize that dealing with symptoms does nothing to the problems that we are faced. Let me just read a portion of the bishop's letter. "We understand," they write, "the fears of the general public regarding crime. We share those fears. Drug trafficking and murder are terrible scourges that cry out for effective remedies. But we must encourage personal responsibility, basic moral values, and a respect for human life. At the same time, we must call upon society as a whole to remedy the social circumstances that contribute to hopelessness, despair, and a breakdown in respect for the value of human life. Crushing poverty and chronic unemployment are breeding violence." And then it gives this one statistic. 82% of persons in jail in Virginia are high school dropouts. When Jesus asks us to put the lamp on the lampstand, he is, I think, calling upon us to deal not with symptoms, but with causes. And when we begin to address the inadequacy of housing, the lack of jobs, the increasing lack of transportation for the poor to the places of their employment, to the inequities that we experience in educational opportunity and support, when we begin to address the enormous pressures that are upon poor families, then we will begin to deal with causes. Wasn't that a nice way in which Isaiah ended his thought? For he says there in the 58th chapter, in the 9th verse, in the first half of the verse, "Then the light will shine, and the Lord will say, 'Here I am.'" Today, I want you to meditate on how you deal with problems. Are you dealing with symptoms or causes? Let your light shine, and when you do, you will experience the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Been listening to Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. If you're enjoying this series, please take a moment and rate us on iTunes. You can learn more about this podcast at solonandsolon.com.